Ron, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Mikey. David, how are you boys doing today?
Doing all right.
You know, we're okay. We're kind of talking, we were talking a little bit about what it takes to hit 50 homers while stealing 50 bases. Now, I think in your career, you hit 50 homers against the White Sox, as I recall. But that is, you know, here is Ohtani in recovery. He's had the UCL, the Tommy John surgery, and the guy comes back. He can't pitch, but he hits 50 homers and steals 50 bases. Well, how insane are those numbers?
To the point where you talk about guys' impact in our game, and there's only like, I don't know, a couple guys that you could talk about that even come close. I think a guy, the names you would bring up would be Ruth, Hank Aaron, Bonds, you know, McGuire, people like that. The people that I did, maybe a Griffey, you know, Willie Mays, that's it. And now this guy, I watched him throw from a distance, but watched him throw a bullpen in Los Angeles when we were there just a week ago. And there was no holding back on him throwing. So don't totally discount the trifecta of him being able to hit home runs in the playoffs, steal bases. And oh, by the way, the righty's ready in the bullpen throwing 100. He might pitch. I mean, it's unbelievable. I there's no way to describe or put into context in our current game how good he is compared to the league. There's not.
Well put,
nothing,
Ron.
Nothing close.
Remarkable feat, incredible season. It wasn't at that level, but yesterday was kind of a significant day at Wrigley Field. Nothing to do with the game, Ron, but I don't know if you heard Craig Counsell beforehand, but he was pretty candid, and I think as forthcoming as he has been all season long about maybe a level of frustration that's been building, but this is his comment before the game. We should try to be building 90-win teams here. That's what you have to do. That's the playoff standard. That's what you've got to get to be safely in the playoffs, safely in the tournament. So from that perspective, we got a ways to go. Craig Counsell doesn't say anything accidentally. Certainly he waited until after the Brewers clinched the division to be this open and honest about what the Cubs don't have and what the standard should be. How did you interpret his comments?
Like that, I would agree, David. When you look at, I'm sure it was frustrating. You know, one of his best friends is managing the Milwaukee Brewers and Pat Murphy. He just left there and they're celebrating and there's pictures on the internet of, one of his buddies getting sprayed with champagne, Bob Uecker, and all those things. And he comes to Chicago and, they're for all practical purposes, going to be left out of the dance come October. You know, that's frustrating. It's also motivating, frustrating and motivating, and same thing. And I think that's where, I look for Craig Counsell. That's to me what that tells me. But the Cubs do. You coming into the season, they had some holes in their team that they were unable to fill. And I believe, this season it showed. And now, when you look at the overall body of work, there were some issues. And those got to be to catch Milwaukee and to catch the elite teams. You see when you play them, you see where, you're holes are, and they've got to be filled if you think you're going to play October baseball regularly. And it's not 1 year, it's regularly. You're going to be the team that goes to October and you play like LA and New York and a lot of teams that, you're in this thing year after year after year. That's the big key.
Yeah, I just wonder how there could be as big a gap between the Cubs and the Brewers as there is, Ron. I mean, is it money poorly spent? Is it not being able to address, as you say, we knew coming in that they had some issues in the bullpen, that they needed another bat. If they had just fixed the bullpen, even at the trade deadline, maybe this season would be different.
I don't disagree. The bullpen, especially, you know, first half of the season had its issues with injury, with performance, you know, and guys, you know, not having the spots filled. I think, you know, not having a closer, you know, I think going after last season, the closer role, you know, Alzolay was thought of to be the closer, but he was a very unproven closer. And then he broke down and now he didn't pitch and you really didn't have an answer for that role. So, you know, Neris, I think, you know, was a seventh inning guy and then was asked to close. Is that, you know, is that fair to him? Well, he's a guy that's a veteran pitcher and he can do the job, but he had his issues. And throughout the season, it was tough. It was. And it's tough to, you know, to do some of these things and also protect the arms of the guys without burning out the guys that you really want to use on a nightly basis when you have the lead. So I'll say one thing about Craig Counsell that I did not know through years other than just watching him from the other side of the field. He will not overuse a guy to the point where, you know, we just need a win tonight and it's August. He's not going to put the pressure on a guy to pitch if he's not ready to pitch. And that's being able to use your bullpen and getting some trust from those guys down there. I thought he did a very good job with what he had with the pen.
He also was a guy that doesn't play games. He doesn't waste words. And he knows exactly what he's saying and how it will be interpreted. So, Coom, it's easy for us to look at that and think, well, you know what? I think that it sounds like he's sending a message to his bosses that he doesn't have a 90-win roster. He would like a 90-win roster. He came here to do more with more, not more with less. Do you think that Craig Counsell was sending his bosses a message when he said what he said yesterday?
Well, I don't know if he's sending them a message, David. I was not in his meetings that he's had with them, but I will say this. I think what you're looking at is a collective thought. To me, the only way you do this is collectively you look at what you have on the field, in your bullpen, with your staff, and you start looking around and going, okay, I've had a year now. If you're counsel, I would assume you go, I've had a year to assess everything we got. Here's my evaluation of where we're at. This is why you brought me in. I'm the highest paid manager in the game. Here's my thoughts. And those got to carry a lot of weight when you're when you've been brought in the way he has. So I think those meetings have taken place and here's what you got. And that's what I think happened.
Combos with Coomer is sponsored by EOC Audio, Chicagoland's leader in audio, video networks, and home automation. EOCAudio.com. You know how you win a division is you win in the division. You know, it's no surprise that the Cubs were 21-28 against the division, whereas Milwaukee was 30-19, and straight up the Cubs 5-8 in their games against Milwaukee. So, you know, when you don't beat a team and you don't win in your division, it's hard to end up as the division leader.
It does. And at the end of the day, Mike, there's just that number alone. If you flip that over and the Cubs win 28, 29, 30 games in the division, we're prepping for October baseball. We're setting up the rotation, and that's what you're doing right now. So you're exactly right. And, you know, to be honest, our division is down this year, right? I mean, when you look, you had one team in Milwaukee that played very well all year. Not a star-studded team. They just played good baseball all year. And, you know, St. Louis is down. The Cubs are barely over 500, and the other two teams are down. You know, so this is a time, I would say, that you can make hay in the division. But you got a very short window because Pittsburgh is getting a lot better real quick. And I anticipate the same thing with Cincinnati. So, you know, you've got to get on it because Pittsburgh with their rotation, the three guys they've got and some young players, they're going to be formidable very soon.
If you're looking at a positive overall, I would think that to choose just one between these two things would be something that I think is the biggest takeaway. Either it has been the development of Pete Crow Armstrong in center field because of what that suggests about the next however many years you want to project out, or the emergence of Shota Imanaga as the ace of this staff, at least this year. Which you think was bigger and which you think is more sustainable, Coom?
Oh, that's a tough question and a very good one, David. I would say Shota probably more. The only reason why I would say Shota in this regard, just because he's a proven entity. He's 30 years old. He's pitched in the Japanese League. He's come in and, you know, from, you know, halfway through spring, the one thing in talking to counts just on the backfields, he's like, this guy's got a great baseball acronym. He understands our game. He understands what he has. He's trying to figure out how that equates in Major League Baseball as opposed to the Japanese League, and he figured it out. You know, at the beginning, I remember the talk was, well, this is going to be great in April and May when the wind's blowing in because he's a fly ball pitcher. How's it going to play in July and August? I think we got the answer. It plays really damn well. Tim can pitch and he knows what he's doing, and it's that simple. Now, let's go to the other guy that you talked about, Pete Crow Armstrong. I'll say this. I think it's very, very difficult to be a very young player in our league, a very young player, not even in the league, and then try to come to the big leagues and learn the big league game. I think that is a feat that you're asking. That's a really big ask. And I would say 90% of that is done. He's learning. He's learning our game at the big league level, which is almost impossible. He's figured out the offensive side, swinging the bat somewhat. You know, he's using the other side of the field. He's getting on top of the ball more and using his legs and getting either base hits or errors made while he's at the plate because of his speed. He did it last night. They gave him a hit. It was an error on Baker, but it doesn't matter. He's on first base. I don't, you know, stats aside, he's standing on first and he's going to steal second and maybe third. His center field play going and getting the ball is second to none in the league. Every team we play, their guys come in, their ex-players come into the booth to talk to me and say, what is that in center field? If the ball lands in the yard, he's catching it. So, you know, his throwing arm has gotten better and more accurate and understanding what he needs to do with that. And he's got a very good throwing arm. So I think, you know, to say one over the other with him and Shota, I think you got one really young player that's learning and you got an established guy, you know, that could be your number one starter. And, oh, by the way, we got another lefty that's, you know, was third or fourth in the Cy Young voting last year. It's really good, too. So that's a good problem to have.
You know, it's fascinating to watch the Cubs because we know that PCA has developed over the last couple of months. Michael Busch has had a hell of a season. They've got some good young players moving forward. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the minor league system is such that it's built to sort of have guys graduate into the major leagues year in and year out, really. Is this the year? I mean, it's not this year. Is next year the year where they're willing to make trades, make moves, do whatever they have to do to sort of establish themselves and make their move? Or are they going to try to keep these young players graduating to the major leagues year in and year out?
Yeah, I don't have that answer, Mike. I wish I did. You know, I know fans want to hear those answers. I don't have them. You know, I think that's a question for Jed Hoyer and Tom and Carter. But I'll say this. Michael Busch, if you were to say, how about 260, 20, and 70 RBIs, would you take that? And doing a good job on defense and learning a new position and doing well there, would you take that when we were in spring training?
Yes.
I think everybody would have been a big thumbs up. Heck yeah, right?
Yes.
No doubt. And that's what he's done. And he's becoming a very consistent hitter to the point where for half the season, He hit in the two hole. He got moved from the seven spot to the two spot because of his consistency. Michael Busch has had an incredible year to me as a rookie. Big tip of the hat to him. The Moda, our infield instructor, who worked with him day after day on learning first base. And then, you know, the guys working with him swinging. He's just become a very consistent big league player. And you have an everyday player in Michael Busch now, which is awesome to see, because that was not – you didn't know in spring training. Now one season in, you have an everyday player. That's saying something.
We got a minute left, Coom. Cody Bellinger, do you have a hunch? He drove in three last night. It's hard to project with Scott Boras being the wild card in all of this, but opting in, opting out, what do you think is coming for Cody Bellinger?
Well, yeah, I think that your wild card is definitely the wild card. You just can't predict what Scott's going to do with his clients. I think last year was a big, you know, big shot in the arm to Boras that his guys didn't sign. And I think what it shows is having guys miss camp and sign way late is not a good thing. It's not good for the player. It's not good for our league. It's not good for the team that signed them. All those guys had their struggles at the beginning of the year, every single one of them. With that being said, Belly brings something to the table on this team as an outfielder and as a middle of the lineup hitter. I hope he stays. Cubs gave him a really nice 3-year deal. He's going to make a lot of money next year if he stays. I hope he stays. He's missing out on really good players and them leaving. Makes another hole that you have in your lineup that you got to fill.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Thanks, Ron.
Good stuff.
Always a joy, buddy. Thank you.
Boys, you have a great weekend. Always great talking to you. Yeah.
That is Ron Coomer.